dangerous in any fight, it's the guy who's willing to die who's gonna win that itch. And I know if I'm gonna have any life anymore, it's because I'm still willing to fight and die for that itch. Because that's what living is. The 6 inches in front of your face. Now, I can't make you do it. You gotta look at the guy next to you. Look into his eyes. Now, I think you're gonna see a guy who will go that inch with you. You're gonna see a guy who will sacrifice himself for this team because he knows when it comes down to it, you're gonna do the same for him. That's a team, gentlemen. And either we heal now as a team, or we will die as individuals. That's football, guys. That's all it is.
Fight for an inch. This team ain't willing to fight for each other right now.
Brandon Marshall and Fitzpatrick going down together? Does that mean this ship is already sinking? Find out right here, right now, on the NYJ Couch Scouts podcast.
NYJ. Couch Scouts.
I'm your host, Peter Antonelli.
I'll tell you right now, the Antonelli household was rocking.
And my co-host, Justin Schwendeman.
No question, we're top five.
Top five dead or alive. NYJ.
Couch Scouts.
This does look like a ship that's already sinking right now. And we sound doom and gloom. We sound like your classic Jets fans. But right now, these are the same old Jets.
Same old freaking Jets. Like my brother says every week, we lose a game, same old Jets. Everybody I know, we lose a game, same old
Jets. It's not just the loss. It's the way we lose a game. The way we can just give other football teams wins.
2 weeks in a row, we have the game just arm length away, and we cannot produce touchdowns.
Game shouldn't have even been an arm length away. And truthfully, you're playing a good team. We spoke about it when we broke the game down. You're playing a potentially great team. But you're at home, by the way, as at Jets Fan Media will tell you, Jay's been screaming at people for days. We have zero home field advantage. I'm sick of looking around the stadium and elbowing my father and laughing. Look, everybody's still tailgating because everybody's late to come in. This stadium don't fill up when it's quote-unquote filled up until early second quarter. If I'm being real honest, late first quarter, I'll give them. And we still don't have any juice. We got Seattle Seahawks playing to their fans on our pylons and our end zones on kickoffs.
We had a whiteout. I wasn't there this week. You were. Was it a whiteout?
50-50.
I know they gave 50-50. Everybody white
the towels. The
towels
look great. That was all well
but
and
were
good.
People wearing white.
But without those towels waving, yes, honestly, to answer your question, yes. It was a somewhat of a whiteout. This ain't a college atmosphere, though. You don't got frats and sororities running to Walmarts and picking up all the Hanes, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but I'm comparing it to the Seattle home field.
Oh, I'm
comparing
you with that.
It
That's
to the Kansas City
to.
Home field. Those guys, they show up wearing red, wearing blue, whatever it might be.
That's the point.
We
I'm
have a whiteout
at.
Or a greenout. Half the stadium's not wearing it.
Listen, I gotta have full disclosure here, though. Both me and Pops were in green, but we were a little bougie this week. We weren't out with where we should have been with the animals. So we were up in the suite. We got lucky. A big thank you to the inspection company.
Got your pinky
company.
Up this weekend, huh?
A little bit. Yeah. It was nice. Was lucky enough to sit next to a couple people we all know, and we all got plans for ourselves. So it was a cool experience. It was definitely a hell of a time. Getting back to it, though, the towels were nice. It was a good touch. But come on, without those towels, you brought nothing to the table this week. As Jets fans, I am
Where's
speaking.
Where's our 12th man?
There is none. Theirs were there. Not in the numbers I think some were expecting. Not in a Pittsburgh Steeler type of outing. But they had decent numbers there. And let me tell you something. Not a bad fan base to have to sit through a game with. Ran into a couple people. That little quick football talk. I tipped my cap to them. They outplayed us from start to finish. Hit the big plays. Made us look real foolish at times. And the people that they brought to our stadium were respectful enough for me.
I want to start off with the good before the bad, and I want to call out the
The optimist.
I want to call out the MVP of our 1-3 season is Lachlan Edwards.
Again.
I have yet to see a bad punt. He's the best Jet we got right now.
Come on, Pops. What'd you say at the game? Here goes Buster's boy.
That's right.
Lachlan booms one, and I'm like, that was great. And then you come out and lead with the Aussie. Good for you. For both of you.
There is nothing else I can say good about this team except for Lachlan Edwards. MVP right now. He's doing his job. He is doing his job.
There are other good things to say about this team, and there was other good things to take out of this game. Justin Burris having to come in and playing fairly decent. Robbie Anderson getting open on the self-proclaimed number one corner in the NFL, but one of your top-tier corners in the NFL.
Sherron Peak looking fundamentally right and picking up a fumble and running it all the way to the end zone at the end of the game.
We said it weeks ago. Does he not look like Braylon? And I know the 17 throws your eye. But don't he look a little bit like Braylon out there?
You know I love my man Braylon.
Oh, man, I'll never forget New England. I had my qualms with Braylon Edwards, but I will never forget New England. Ever. Okay. Let's get back to this dumpster fire of a game, though. I don't even want to talk about any positives. I was just giving little touches there because I felt there were certain things that had to be spoke about. But you gotta be kidding me with that performance at home with, I won't say your backs against the wall, but definitely your back's on the ropes. And that's what you put forth on Sunday, knowing the team you're playing. You got Buster Screen, and I ain't in the film room. I had Bowles tell me that it wasn't Pryor's fault, even though Turf Monster gets him 30 yards down the field running free. But I got Buster Screen peeking in the backfield on a cover three, and I got an undrafted running free. We lead the league in 40-plus yard plays. We are one of the worst defenses, passing specifically, but one of the worst defenses for 25-plus yard plays. And I ain't the stat guy, but that is egregious, man. We ain't supposed to be what we're putting on film and out on that field right now on the defensive side of the ball.
Such a talented secondary that cannot produce a lick, man. Over and over again, offensive players getting open against our secondary. Over and over. Calvin Pryor, what is going on, man? Next week against Pittsburgh, you know, I'm starting with Rontez out there. You know, I'm not saying that he's gonna get more snaps than Pryor, but you say, Pryor, you got to sit down the first series. You sit down, man.
I don't
you
know about
that.
You
are not playing well.
Pryor's not playing well, but to me, the same deficiencies that a Calvin Pryor has, a Rontez Miles has. Rontez is going to come in with his hair on fire. We all know that, but Pryor plays like that as it is. Right now, his problem is angles. Right now, his problem is being left in space, almost on an island, as a mismatch pre-snap, when that's not what he does. That's on Bowles and Rodgers as well.
You're talking about angles, but Pryor had this angle problem his whole career. He has yet to improve it.
Because in college, your speed is faster.
Is this his
third
year?
Than in the NFL, yes. But in college, your speed is faster. So he was lighting people up with that. That's the same thing in high school. Same thing in Pop Warner. Same thing in midgets. You get used to playing a certain way. So
How long do we use that as an excuse for him?
I know. And I know it comes across as an excuse. But I'm just trying to say why something like that could still be a problem. He's been a superior talent at every level he's been at in his life. Now you're not. Everybody's as big. Everybody's as strong. Everybody's as fast in this league. That's the difference.
Again, I'm going to say another week, I'm going to say it. I thought Calvin Pryor was going to come out and be a top five safety this year. I was obviously wrong.
Looking dead wrong right now. A lot dead of football wrong. Left. And I'm trying to put that into my brain. But honestly, I'm having trouble doing it. I really am. Because you're looking at Pittsburgh. Then you're staring Arizona on the road. It's that daunting schedule that I laughed at is starting to really show its head at a time we don't need it. And I don't mean I'm wavering. I mean, now I'm starting to feel the effects of who we're playing because of the way we're playing. This defense is a liability right now. We're not even getting into the putrid performance that our offense puts forth. We're not even touching there right now. This defense is a liability right now. And they get the stop when we need the stop here or there. But I am watching. You can make a face. I'm watching gashing plays. I'm watching 40, 50, 60, 70 yard balls getting completed against us.
No, I agree that we get a stop when we need a stop. But exactly, we're giving plays up over and over and over again. We're letting offenses getting in their groove. We're not disrupting that. We're not getting turnovers. We're not doing anything right except stopping third downs every once in a while.
And stopping the run. I believe we're number two in the league or something like that. Yeah. Why even run on us? I would throw the ball 45 times on us. And I'm getting to a point because I have to admit when I'm wrong. It's part of thinking you hold any credibility, in my opinion. I'm starting to get nervous on Darrell Revis because it's a narrative that is out there and everybody's saying it. So I don't want to use the term and then look like I bit anything, but where's the dog in him right now? Where's that edgy ball player, me versus you, me versus the world type of mentality that he played with his whole career?
Like I said, I think that he didn't have that offseason that he's always had, and he took himself lightly this offseason, and I think that's catching
I'm
up
with
to
you,
him right
but
now.
When exactly. Do you get your legs?
Yeah, I don't
Are
know.
You just saying this is a season-long thing potentially and he has to learn this lesson?
No, I just think it's longer than we thought it was going to be. I think, you know, he gets it back by mid-season. We're not at mid-season yet. We're only through the first quarter.
Mid-season, you know what our narrative's going to be on this podcast? Do you go with Petty or do you go with Hackenberg?
Do we draft a quarterback in the first round of the draft? That's what we're going to be talking about.
It's. I don't want to talk about draft season yet. I got the DVR filled up. I'm watching it on Saturdays. But I didn't think this was going to be the type of year that I'm talking about what mid-round running back we can steal. Are you kidding me right now? I need accountability from this coaching staff as well, though.
Is Chan Gailey going to get Matt Forte involved?
No, stop. Stop. Please. I won't even let you go there.
Only 14 attempts. We weren't running the ball well. But could we get him involved?
Because they ran him wild over a 10-day span. To open the season.
No, I get you.
You gotta even that up at some point. I won't put this on Gailey as much as some may because I'm looking at Brandon Marshall running up the seam wide open for six. I'm looking at Brandon Marshall running past Richard Sherman for six on an underthrown ball. My first, for instance, by the way, we rolled out of a clean pocket and went to the right side of the field, which was covered. I'm watching Robbie Anderson toast Richard Sherman, get behind their number two corner Sheed, and have to come back to a ball. There are points being left out on the field that can give your defense the type of kick in the ass or just in general the type of mindset of let's go hunt. I don't think our defense can step on a field right now and feel like they can do anything to win a game.
One of their most talked players, one of their loudest players in Richard Sherman, and we treated him like garbage this game.
Yeah, well, he got Fitz twice. Some will say he got Marshall, but he didn't get Marshall because, in my opinion, Marshall ate his lunch on Sunday. He got Fitz. First of all, you go at Sherman three straight times, that ball better be on point. Better be on point because I got enough respect to know that you don't do that. Number two.
Comeback routes. Unbelievable.
Stole it from me. I was going to say what you're running against Sherman. You're begging for it. This guy's a former receiver. You're giving him a chance to come downhill at the ball.
Both of them. Both the picks were the comeback routes. And he stared Marshall down from the snap. Unbelievable, man. Is this guy from Harvard or what?
We said it before, though. It's part of the issue. And I don't understand, as I said to you pre-show, how a 30-something-year-old quarterback, a 10-plus-year vet,
12,
can turn into a 1-year-old read and predominantly predetermined one read quarterback.
He got too much money to worry about the other reads.
Listen, forget about getting too much money. The sitting on the couch with the kids and putting together toys. Maybe it's starting to show. The nice line of, man, his arm's fresh because he hasn't been throwing. Sounded great. Really did. But it ain't the case right now. We are leaving points on the field. I know I just said it, but I gotta drive it home. You can't do that in the NFL ever. And our receivers are getting behind people, man.
I just want to also point out Eric Decker, our other guy on the other side that people have to look out for and is very talented, wasn't there. So maybe he's a security blanket for Fitz, and Fitz just didn't have it this week, and he thought Brandon was gonna be open every play, and he was just gonna throw balls to the opposite team, and Brandon was gonna magically come up with it, but that wasn't the case. Again, he didn't have a safety blanket.
Decker got one catch against Kansas City, and he was there for the six pick performance. So I'm not buying the Decker end of this because I watched receivers. You talked about Sherron Peak and how a couple nice plays he made. He got open. This is the Legion of Boom, and they got open. I watched receivers get open all day. We couldn't get them to rock.
That's what I'm saying. At the beginning of the game, I saw him throwing a Quincy, and like that's what I wanted. Throw to Quincy. Eric Decker's out. Throw to Quincy. Throw to Quincy. But then, as the game went on, did we stop and forget about Quincy Enunwa? The guy who everybody talks about every game, every commentator. I really like this guy, Quincy Enunwa. Yeah, we all like him. Can we get him the ball? Yeah, he's getting the ball six times. Can we get him the ball in the second half of the game, please?
No, we didn't forget. That's called second half adjustments. And it's part of the accountability from the coaching staff that I think needs to be brought up more. Because last year, we thought that was Bowles' strength. I mean, look how good this guy is in the second half of football games. We're one of the worst teams in the third quarter in the NFL right now. We get thoroughly out-prepared and out-coached right now in every aspect of the game.
I don't want to go ahead of myself. I just want to ask the question. I don't feel like this in any way. Did Bowles just had such a talented team last year and got lucky with 10 wins, and now we're actually seeing what he put together and his coaching abilities, and it doesn't look that impressive?
No, I think there's a lot going on right now, and mostly stemming from the liability that our quarterback position is to this team. Almost detriment at this point that he is to this team. That's not allowing us to mask certain things that were masked last year due to the circumstances you were talking about.
So you're really putting a lot of this on Fitz. This is a hugely on Fitz.
Did you talk with this entire holdout and preseason hold off anything you want? Did you talk with a bigger supporter of he has to come back to be the quarterback of this team this year than me?
No.
And
no.
Now you're saying absolutely.
I was against it.
I know that, but that's the point I'm trying to make. I couldn't have preached more that this was Ryan Fitzpatrick's team and Ryan Fitzpatrick's job. But I don't have any explanation for the that's getting put on an NFL football field by this guy. You're talking 3 out of 4 now. It's now a trend.
And I don't think, man, we were just talking before the show, I don't think that there's a teammate that doesn't believe in Fitz. You know, I don't think they want Geno out there. They don't want Petty out there yet. You know,
I was lucky enough due to our certain situation on Sunday to be able to say with conviction that everybody to a man on this team is still behind Fitz. And maybe everybody's over-exaggerating it. But the man they look to in that locker room is Fitz. And I can rest assured in saying that. I truly can. It's hard to believe at this point in time, but it's the case still. So that says so much about the faith in Geno Smith and the option that Geno Smith would be. It really does.
No, I agree. And you can't do a quarterback switch yet. You cannot.
Very surprised to hear that coming from you. We really have switched seats. I just wanted to bring that up just to admit that when I'm answering your question, honestly, yeah, I'm putting this on Fitz, and I was the supporter in this argument in this room.
I agree that it's on Fitz as well, but I like to put some blame on the coaching staff because
I'm willing to put a little bit of blame on the defense.
It's Chan Gailey's job to get Fitzpatrick on his reads and what he should be doing out there. But at the end of the day, I do agree that you can't do a quarterback switch, and I know you agree as well.
Fitz, as you open the show, sink this ship. And then once we get there, now let's have the argument of petty or hack. Geno's not coming back here next year. And if Fitz were to sink the ship as we are taking on water right now, if he were to, he ain't coming back next year. Backup, third, he ain't coming back at all. So you're looking at Geno walking. Do you go with Petty as a pseudo vet quarterback and stay the course with Hackenberg? Do you give Hackenberg the lumps now? See what he looks like. Know what you have and know if you have to draft a first round quarterback or not, as you alluded to a couple minutes ago. These are all still roads we didn't think we were traveling in 2016.
And there's no way that I even think about this until I'm under 500 by week 10.
Okay. Can we get back to somewhere after this real quick, though? Because I still want to steer back to the Seattle game. So you go ahead with the record and all that, but I need to touch back on that Seattle game.
Well, no, that's fine. I just don't think you take Fitz out yet. And Geno obviously doesn't want to be a Jet, and we really don't want him to be a Jet anymore either. So at the point, Geno is
yeah, stop is, with the posting things and then deleting them anyway. It's 2016, as we just said. That's screenshotted by 4 million people within a minute. So leave it up if you're going to be stoned enough to put it up. And just want to put that out there, not that he's listening.
I think that Geno, in general, is just a security blanket if Fitz goes down with injury.
Love that. Love the way you put that.
Because if we start to really, really suck and Fitz gets benched, I do not put Geno in. You got to put Bryce. You got to put Hackenberg. Even though I don't want to put Hackenberg
and
in,
let's keep
you
got to
put Bryce in.
And let's keep in mind, Bryce is still hurt. Because I know somebody who happens to be sitting in this room right now that believes that Bryce Petty should be given an opportunity coming up this Sunday or next. So I just want to remind people that Petty's still coming off of somewhat of a significant injury, and there's a lot of work that needs to be done there for him to even be ready if we were to go there. But if I could steer it back to this Seattle game, Brian Winters, because the line... The line took a hit when he went down. I like the fact that they put Quale in there next to Ajulana. But you get a concussion, headbutting somebody.
Idiot.
We need you now, man. We need you now.
Idiot.
Can't happen.
And you know what? One stat, I don't know the stat exactly, but I heard that I think Brian Winters is one of top three best pass rushing.
Number one pass blocker.
Blocker efficiency,
position,
right?
Yeah,
in the
yeah.
league.
That's PFF, so you take that. I don't.
Yeah, in the league. He's one of the best pass blockers in the league.
You can't afford that get unsportsmanlike concussion, whole nine, and knock yourself out of a game like that. You cannot do it. You're a 16-game starter now. You're relied upon to be out there.
It wasn't even like they were scrapping. They were just running towards the play.
And why I wanted to get back here so bad is a play toward the end of the game. Nobody's got Nick Mangold's back. Nick Mangold will walk in an alley blindfolded for any one of them and throw down. Nobody gets Mangold's back when Michael Bennett takes that cheap shot.
That he was complaining about Brian Winters took one early in the game.
And that was part of it. That's your interior offensive line. They're all working as one. So a D lineman got no problem getting a center instead of getting the guard that he really had something to say to. But nobody gets Nick Mangold's back. That's your leader.
Yep.
That is your captain.
That's right.
That's a guy who we can say put before the whole team, and they're listening.
That's the base of this team.
Nobody steps up and does
it. Unbelievable, man.
The lack of heart in and of itself
on the offense
is disheartening right now.
On the offense, because I would say the defense runs a little differently.
No, the defense, I'll say, hot button topic, hot button word, but communication. Because I don't understand how we have to communicate what coverage we're in anyway if they're getting blown the way they're getting blown right now. But I'm starting, if we're going to transition to the defensive side of the ball here, I'm starting to kind of sound a little like you. Our D-line needs to start getting home.
I was just about to say something. the youngest defensive lineman is looking more impressive than the rest of them. Not hating on Mo. No, not Mo's hating
still,
on Mo, Sheldon.
Mo's still getting healthy, and that's different than saying Revis is still getting his legs.
But did you think that you were going to see the big cat be the most dominant force we have right now?
No, I really didn't, because Sheldon's my boy, and I got a respect level for Mo that is through the roof. So, no, I did not think heading into the fifth game of his second season on this D-line, we'd be talking and seeing this Sheldon Richardson, this Leonard Williams already. Because I was absolutely on board with the type of prospect he was. But I did not think he'd be outperforming guys we had on this team already.
Outperforming the league, man. He is a beast.
Looks unblockable at times. He really does.
He really does.
I'm very impressed with Darren Lee's speed as well.
Oh,
and
my.
We talk about it week in and week out, but we just haven't seen it so long at that position. One spot we got to get into where we didn't go because Braden Bowman dropped a very big ball on third down.
Wow.
Early in that game, you got a chance to flip field position. Did you feel, because I did, that he was almost on display with the Austin Seferian Jenkins acquisition prior to that week?
No.
Do you feel he was on display in that first half, first quarter?
Oh, totally. To think that we might keep this guy or not, or put him on the practice squad.
Or is Kellen Davis the guy we can maybe get rid of?
This guy can't even block.
I might ask every week. I'm telling you right
he
now,
needs
I may
to be
ask
cut.
Every week.
He needs to be cut.
That's my point, though. Are they auditioning a Bowman for themselves and really seeing an extensive work, what he can bring to the table, and does he mix and match with Bostic and Seferian Jenkins? Or was it I need to see what he can do because he's the guy I'm waving
for
a roster move in a week, in 2 weeks for
Devin
Smith?
To me, it was Bowman and Jenkins. I think they picked a player who they think knows the playbook better at this point. And I think maybe Jenkins needs a little bit more time.
Oh, yeah. I think it was unrealistic to think ASJ was going to play.
Yeah, and I think Bowman probably knows the playbook a little bit better, got out there. They saw what he can do. He obviously missed. He was open, but he missed
the move. It's an NFL play, though. It's a tough, tough catch, but it's an NFL catch.
But I think he's the player that jumps up and down all season if we have problems. But I think Kellen Davis obviously is going to stay on this team the whole freaking season.
Yeah, I know.
But what's so crazy about that is that we don't put him out in passing plays. He doesn't catch the ball. He can't catch the ball. We put him out there for blocking plays. He can't block. He gets holding calls. What's the point of him? What is the point? He's a wasted position
dead
out
space.
There.
He's dead space. We said that. I said that.
He gets a penalty. You're out there to block and you get a penalty. What's the point of you?
You can't carry a blocking tight end that can't block.
Unbelievable.
It's asinine.
What's the love for him?
There's
Who
no,
loves him in this,
it's
in
not
this
a love
coaching
thing.
Staff?
It's why we're reaching out and picking up.
Is it the veteran?
Former second round pick of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, big bodied boy in ASJ. Austin Seferian Jenkins brings something to the table we are lacking.
I'm questionable about Jenkins. You know, to
off
me.
Off field or on field?
Both. To me, it is the Jason Morrow. You know, had a great college career, comes into the league, gets hurt, has offseason problems, whatever it may be, just doesn't produce from having a great college career.
Okay, now I'm glad you went there because I wanted to say something in terms of tying Morrow in. For everybody, including myself, that was pissed that we missed on the second round pick, and I wasn't really in the boat of Max shouldn't have done it, but there was an argument out there that Max shouldn't have done it. You just traded up in that draft. ASJ went before him. He was a guy on that draft night. I'm talking with my father. He gets his handful of names to watch out for from me. And I said, now you got to focus in on Austin Seferian Jenkins. No way Jason Morrow will be there. And Amaro wound up being the guy that was there. So now you traded up in that draft. So if you had anything to say about Mike Maccagnan in those regards, you can't now. We waived to acquire via waivers, and we traded up doing it. We're taking a flyer on a guy that maybe Maccagnan and his Texan staff at the time liked more than Amaro, or a guy that, you know, unfortunate situation with that dumb video that's out there of him getting pulled over. How you talk yourself into a DUI? How do you do that?
Some of these players, man, what is with them?
I don't see how you live that down in a locker room. If he's walking into my Jet locker room, that's playing on the speakers. Like, come on,
there is so
dude.
Much nonsense.
How do you talk yourself into a DUI? But neither here nor there for where we're going. He brings something to this offense potentially we don't have.
Potentially.
And I feel there was a lot of playing time being put out on film this week to make a decision in regards to bringing Austin Seferian Jenkins into the fold. So we're going to see how that comes to fruition over the next week or so.
To me, again, my opinion on it, I'm very questionable. Like, again, they had great college careers. They came into the league. They really didn't do anything. So he's just a player that we picked up. Hopefully, turns out. We'll see what he's got.
I don't know if there's anywhere else you want to go with that Seahawk game, but I just, one other thing I feel needs to be brought up about penalties.
7 penalties, 60 yards.
This was the first time that I can really think in 20 games coached under Todd Bowles. This isn't a team that Bowles really put forth last year, and even to start this year with playing bad. This is a team that was still winning the penalties and needs to start winning the turnover battle. Bro, you can't win in Pop Warner at the rate we give the other team the ball. You can't.
This one stat pokes out at me. 7 for 15 on third down. We shouldn't be having 15 third downs.
I want to agree with you, but they're going to come
up. They only had
up.
10, and they're were 3 for up. 10, so they did a horrible day in third down. But 15 third downs, that means that our first and second down, we're not doing anything. We continuously
because
get to third
not.
Down and then go three
and
out.
That's my argument with the Forte and the one end of it of did we already run him out of gas? And the other end of it of he's lost a step and he's washed up. He's got nowhere to run.
I'm not even talking about the running. Can we give him the ball and
he's
passing?
He's got nowhere to run.
Every time we have a pass, we're putting Bilal Powell out there. I would like to see Bilal Powell run the ball a little bit more.
Listen, I'm fine with Powell and Forte on the field together because it's a package that we're missing out on right now. You know what that would do to a defense? Because you got one linebacker, you got one safety that can really account for them if you're talking a man-up scheme. One of them is a mismatch on that. But we're not running that. And to be honest with you, I don't think Fitzpatrick capitalizes if we are right now.
At all. He hasn't capitalized on anything, man. Nothing.
Bro, we're going to get toasted on Sunday by Big Ben and the Pittsburgh Steelers.
I don't want to say that. I don't want to say that.
Dude, I called the shootout preseason. I don't know why. I think we win this one. I see a shootout, a 38-35 type game, I probably said, something like that. No, not a shot. Not a shot.
I do want to bring something up about this game, though, the next two games.
Yeah, go ahead.
We talked about before the season started, before the Bengal game, that if we come out of these—
3-3.
Yes, we still
that's winning both of these, Buster.
We still have an opportunity to do that.
I love you.
Let me tell you though, the Seahawks game, everybody said it's a must win, it's a must win. No, this Pittsburgh game against our
AFC
rival
game.
At their home is the must win
okay,
here.
Okay, you said let me tell you, now let me ask you. What part of this football team shows you any ability to win this game? What you have seen, not what you think they can be or what you want them to rebound into. What facet of this football team has shown you anything through the quarter pole of the season that could even strengthen your argument that they got a shot on Sunday
in
Pittsburgh?
Like you told me last week, that Buffalo game was a game that we won and produced on. I tried to use it against Fitzpatrick last week, but you told me that Buffalo game, we came out, we turned out, and we played. That's the game against a defense that shuts out the Patriots. Doesn't matter who the quarterback is because we learned for the first three games. It doesn't matter who the quarterback is. Sorry for bringing up the Patriots, guys. But they shut them out. So that defense
Frankie
is no slouch.
Frankie LaPorta swear jar dollar.
That defense is no slouch, okay? So we ran the ball for 100 yards, had almost three receivers with 100 yards. We have the ability. We have the ability to compete with any of these top offenses.
Well, you're preaching to the choir. We know we have the ability.
So that's
I'm
what
asking
your question,
you,
my your question
no,
was.
No, okay, so you're telling me the Buffalo game is why you think we have an opportunity
that is
Sunday.
Proof that we can do it.
I'm asking you that,
yes,
though.
Yes, yes, that's proof.
You said last week on this very podcast, they were hurt and you considered that an easy win so you didn't want to count it. So when you were using it negatively, it was a bad game. Now you want to use it positively, and it was a good game, and it strengened your argument. Which side of the fence you want to sit on with the Buffalo
game? Well, I have
game?
To say you would have to do the same thing because you told me at the same time that I said that,
absolutely.
that Buffalo game was a game.
That does not show me anything that tells me we can beat the Pittsburgh Steelers because of our defensive performance that Thursday night against Tyrod Taylor and the Buffalo Bills. Because the two huge plays that they hit us for, Ben will make that four.
But we would have to say that our offense is the worst part of our team right now, right?
Hands down.
So if we have that Buffalo game, we can shoot it out with Ben.
Okay, now
we can
do
shoot
that
it
with,
out
Ben.
With Ben.
That's fine. With this defensive backfield that we discussed to open the show, he will torch us. You get into a shootout. You want this game to be pouring rain, 47 degrees, 3 yards, and let's say a cloud of mud. That's what you want this game to be, because you get into a shootout with this team, they're gonna lap you on the track.
Even though we lost the Kansas City game, I thought that defense, we can beat the Pittsburgh Steelers with that defense.
All right, so we're building it here.
We're building it.
What's your special teams? I need to know your special. It's got to be week one. We had a nice big return.
I want the offense from the Bills game and the defense from the Bills, okay. And the defense from the Chiefs game, man.
And then we're going special teams from week one with the Bengal game.
No, I already told you the MVP is our punter. We don't need a special team from any okay, other game. They're doing the greatest job right now.
Lachlan back there returning. It's unbelievable. The love that has transpired here on the MYJ Cow Scouts podcast for Lachlan Edwards. Rightfully so, though.
He's the man.
Rightfully so. Let's get back into Pittsburgh. They got a young tight end that's starting to flash in Jesse James out of Penn State. You got receivers everywhere. We talked about Ben. I just brought up Bell. Came back this week. Didn't look like he missed a beat. D'Angelo Williams, I know we don't fear the run, but these boys together can do a little something, and they could do something in the pass game. Their defense, Orion Shazier flying around. He nicked. Not sure if I believe he will play, though. Shazier, as I said, flying around. Their defensive line up front, not terrible. I would call them an above-average group. You think we can pick on them a little bit in their backfield? Honestly?
What I was going to say is, they got blown out by Philadelphia 2 weeks ago.
It's a finicky league, though.
Oh, no,
you
look
at who blows out who
Let me
one
finish.
Week to another. You can't.
Let me
Come
finish.
On. Go ahead. You're
Let
right. I apologize.
They got blown out. They had a great game. They got Bell back last week. They had a great game. Great game. We have the chance to do this. I can't call us out. I can't say that we're just going to, you know, lose against every team that we think might be better or had a good game the week before. We can't say that.
Well, bro, I'm fucking pissed right
no,
now.
No, I get it. I'm pissed,
so
too.
So I'm going to say that we're getting waxed on Sunday. Because I'd love to get to our prediction part and say, you're right, 38-35. Nah, I ain't doing it.
But I can't say that that this team is going to bring every bad loss from the week before into the following week.
No, because you want to feel and think that they're better than that. But are they?
We have the talent to be better.
We have
it's
the
not
leadership
like we're,
to be
it's
better.
It's not like we're a team that's just bad all around. We can't win games. We don't have talent. It's not like that. It's a team that's from last year who won 10 games, who can put up three receivers with 100 yards and a running back with 100 yards. We have the ability. So week by week, we can't grab the team that just got blown out 2 weeks in a row almost. Not blown out, but we got our ass handed to us.
Us, what are we on offense?
We're still finding ourselves, man.
That's unacceptable right now. I agree. Because if you're going to be this bad, at least be bad at something. At least be able to say, we're going to run the rock at you. We suck at it, but we're going to run this damn rock at you.
I want to know, if you have an answer what we are already, then by week, we should just say, hey, our offense sucks. We're not going to put up no points. We can't say that, though.
That's where I am with this team right now.
We can't say that, though.
It's where I am right now, bro. I'm unbelievably pissed that we're sitting here 1-3 looking at Big Ben, then looking at Larry Fitzgerald the following week.
As Jet fans, we do this to ourselves every year. We have a bad game. We have two bad games. We start the season off slow. And then,
boss, this isn't overreactionary right now.
No, I'm saying we've played really bad, but I gotta have some optimism and say that we can compete with the best in the league. You can't say that we can't. We have the talent.
I don't want to say that we can. I'm willing to, though, with what I have seen the past 4 weeks.
And I agree, it's been atrocious.
Not saying we can't turn it around. You're right.
And I think this week against a team that we have history with, a team that I hope that Bowles told this team early this week, yesterday, today, whatever it might be, Bowles, this is a big rivalry. This is a team that we always have problems with, and we want to show that we can do it differently with this regime. This is a big game for him, I think. This is a big game for both.
You couldn't do it with the proverbial backs up against the ropes because I didn't want to say wall against an NFC team last week. But you're going to do it with your backs against the wall this week in Pittsburgh?
Especially an AFC team.
Terrible towels flying, Steel City. You're going out there reeling and beating them at home.
See, last week an NFC team, a West Coast team. This week, an AFC team, very close to us, very close to that wild card that we always long for because we know the Patriots win the division.
They're division winners.
I'm just saying that them and the Bengals are the team that we have to worry about. We cannot get two losses, one against the Bengals already,
Pittsburgh.
This is a must-win for our future of the season.
Must-win in week 5. Who would have dunked it? A must-win for our New York Jets 2016 season in week 5.
And like I said, if we pull out 2 wins, we're right back where we thought we can be. And we're on a good path. These are 2
big
wins.
On a good path, you'd be on a great path. You would have beaten Arizona and Pittsburgh in Arizona and Pittsburgh. You would have turned your season around, presumably. Fitzpatrick would have gotten on path. You found what you were offensively. You started getting to and taking down the quarterback and possibly figuring out how to maybe get your hands on the goddamn football.
And I so want to come back here next week and laugh it off. I so want to come here next week and laugh it off.
Listen, I love your optimism, but I think you're talking a little something.
What is your prediction for the season now?
I won't even get into season. I won't even entertain it. I want to watch this ass whipping we get on Sunday. Then I'll start to get into the season with you.
I can't.
Tell me what your score is Sunday. Let's wrap this up. Unless you got anywhere else you'd like to go, because I'm telling you how I feel about this game.
I got nowhere to go. I think that I want to go back to just talking about the two rookie wide receivers real quick and Peak and Robbie. I think Robbie had opportunities last week to show us what he's got, but he didn't really. But he did show us that he can get off that line.
I'm sorry you didn't get that in earlier because you were pretty adamant about it pre-show, and I don't understand how you look at Robbie's game and say he dropped 2 balls. I don't. To me, Robbie Anderson was out there getting open against a premier corner and a very good defensive backfield, and the ball was underthrown, or he should have back-to-back touchdowns. Last week, this week, the 3rd and 8, that ball had nothing on it, allowed the corner to get back underneath, get his hands in there.
I got nothing bad to say him getting off the line and getting open. Nothing. He's great. It's amazing.
And he's going
to
put some size on. It's so in terms of beating the jam, he'll get there.
How young and small he is, and he gets off that line and gets open. But when the ball comes to his way, in this game.
Tacks it with his hands.
His problem. That was his problem the other day. And Peak showed us that he can catch that ball. And Peak also showed us, yes, it was late.
Peak played a lot of snaps and
that
didn't
was
look like
very
he wore down.
Fundamentally sound to pick up that ball and run to the end zone.
Yeah, he had a little help. He did admit that he had a little help in terms of people telling him to run. But is there a freakier way to get your first ever NFL touchdown?
It's great.
I wish it would have meant something.
It was great.
I really do.
But let me get back to my prediction. Pittsburgh at Pittsburgh, 1 o'clock game, hard place to play. Again, a third game, hard place to play. 24-21, sorry.
Please tell me Jets.
Jets, baby.
Oh, my God. I love you with all my heart, my friend. 38-13.
Oh, my Pittsburgh. Goodness.
We come back and we are at an absolute crossroads as a team, and I think you're going to start to see wholesale changes if they don't get their act together right now and heading into Arizona and salvage this season. Because if they don't, it's gonna get scary. Who's going to be playing?
You get some water on you? What are
By
you,
week
a gremlin?
10, week 12.
What
Bro,
are you, a
call
gremlin?
Me whatever you want. When I'm watching on this field, they're ripping my heart out right now. I can't even enjoy when they do something good. I can't right now. Pessimistic or not. And for how much I want to get on board and took the time to bring it up on here with not having a home field advantage and getting behind that Jets fans media stance there. Make me cheer. Because I would love to make that place rowdy. You can't let them take the heart out of the stadium. You can't let me sit there and see nothing that allows me to think that I'm going to enjoy a game into the second half this week. Because I won't say I see it.
Mo Sheldon and Big Cat. You need to put Big Ben on his ass this week if we want to win.
Big Ben's about the same size as all three of them combined, so it's going to be a tough task.
That's what I think is the factor this week, is those three guys. Let's get it, boys.
Your lips to God's ears, my friend. That's another week in the book here. I apologize if it wasn't what you thought it was going to be, or wasn't enough for what you expected it to be. But it was raw this week. This team is a joke and needs to turn it around immediately, or we ain't going to have anything to enjoy for the last 2 months of what we waited for. Want to thank everybody again for tuning in, for downloading. You can find us on Apple iTunes, Podomatic, Stitcher, and anywhere else podcasts can be downloaded.
Hey, Jet fans, give us a follow on Twitter at NYJ Couch Scouts. Leave us your comments and your questions, and look out for our future prizes and giveaways.
Want to give a big shout out to our producer, Giovanni Garcia, as well as our co-founder, David Schwendeman. And a bigger shout out to you, the fans out there, again. Thank you. Keep tuning in. We'll keep bringing it to you. Good, bad, or indifferent. Bottom line, this is our squad. We're going to be here through thick and thin. Till next week, Jet fans. Try to endure. Let's get one. Please. Let's get one.
Catch us next week, Jet fans.
Couch Scouts Podcast. Audio of the free.